Ephesians chapter 5. What a truth. What a truth. What are we without Him? We already saw what we could be without Him. Now we get to experience what we can be with Him. Amen. Two announcements I forgot to mention. Valentine's Banquet is on the 7th of February. I want to fellowship with you. I am an extroverted introvert, but I like fellowship, and you take church and church folks away from me, I don't have much of a life. I hide from all that stuff out there. I realize what it did to me for 27 years. So I like to fellowship with other people. So sign up in the foyer. If things are tight, let me know, and we'll take care of that. If you're not a member here, there's a sign-up sheet out there. We'd still like you to go. You can get to see how crazy some of these people are behind the scenes. Amen. I, of sound mind and body pastor a lot of Fruit Loops. And you get to see who they are when you go to Hartville Kitchen. Amen. So we'd love to have you to do that. And then Miss Emily is with child today. And just a little tiny fella. Amen. And there's a baby sprinkle, whatever y'all call it back there. Don't forget that, please. Children at that age, if you're a good parent, go through diapers quickly. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I've experienced that many years ago. We did the cloth ones. We came up in that time frame. Can you imagine that? Amen. And didn't mind doing it. I didn't mind changing them at all. Amen. And so now they're a whole lot different. But I remember back then when you changed one, you could put it on and they'd be going in that one as you change that one. And so you go through them quite frequently. So if you would, please do that back there and put that up there. Amen. I think that's all the announcements. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Did I mention spring? 59 days. Did I mention that one? On a more serious note, I looked over and saw Miss Cynthia. Please pray for their family. Amen. They're kind of going through what we just experienced last month, and it's difficult. There's another dynamic to it. Cynthia and Maurice's daughter's in the process of getting ready to be married, and we all understand we don't want those kind of memories to conflict with each other. Those kind of memories, we want to have a joyous occasion, although it's overshadowed a little bit. So pray for the timing of all that. That it doesn't, you know, coincide with one another. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, we ready? Seat belts on? No, we ready? Amen. We're going to go back to where we were at one time before December was different for us, and that is the series we were looking at on the fruit of the Spirit. So let's read a few verses of Scripture, lay a foundation, we'll do a little bit of a review, and see if we can get somewhere. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, not Ephesians. Galatians chapter 5, let's say verse 16. I could read the whole chapter and I might before the service is over. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, Paul says to them, and they were struggling. This is a church that was struggling, and we don't have to struggle because we have their experience. But you got to understand, up until this point where Christ died, there was no indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, John was filled with the Spirit. God can do whatever He wants to do. But the standard, though, operating procedure, if you will, was God came upon people. He came upon Samson. He came upon Jacob. He came upon people. He moved it. Yes, there was places in the Old Testament where He filled them. I'm trying to think of the one, but He came upon someone. In the New Testament, this is why we ought to be a whole lot more happier, joyous, appreciative. In the New Testament, He doesn't come upon us, He moves within us. He indwells us. At the moment of salvation, not at baptism, not at some crazy utterance of some unintelligible language, at the moment, and I don't know when that transaction takes place. I really don't. I know I was sitting in my patrol car. I was in Barnwell County, South Carolina. I was running radar, convicted. This verse of Scripture was on my mind. God was telling me, come now, let us reason together. He was showing me, and He can do it outside of church. How does he do it outside of church? All of us have something indwelt with inside of us. What is it? It's a little light. That's why we teach the kids when they're little what? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And God used the light of other people and the Word of God, and He convicted me. He said, come now, let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet. And we began to have that conversation, and I realized my sinful condition. And then I recognized the fact that I could not pay for that debt myself, and I received Jesus Christ. I don't know when that took place. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I don't know if I talked out loud that night. Does that negate my salvation? I know what was going on in my heart, and there was this moment, and I don't know. God knows. I'm reminded of it because I passed from death unto life. I passed from darkness unto light. I know a lot of young people struggle with that sometimes when they're raised in church because that's all they've ever known. I'm glad it worked out the way it did for me. I missed out on Christianity at an early age, but I've tried to make up for it at 27 years of age. But nonetheless, it transpires. And at the moment of that transaction, where He has become the mediator and the propitiation for our sins, God places Himself inside of us. Man, can you imagine? And I don't think they are now. But could you imagine if you could have an Old Testament saint and a New Testament saint together having a conversation and sharing with each other their walk with God? Could you hear Abraham say, God lives inside of you? He convicts you. He compels you. He demonstrates His compassion. Oh, wow. I have to wait. I have to seek Him. I have to wait till He shows up. I know He's there and He can, but I have to wait for that and I have to walk towards that. Now you start realizing how much we take that for granted. Was it Lamentations? His compassions fail not. His mercies are new every morning. Soon as you wake up, you ain't got to go find Him. He's there. He abides within us. He sees everything you see. He hears everything you say. He's around every place you go. That's why we ought to be mindful of it. But we have that. Shouldn't we be joyous about it? I know it can be difficult sometimes, but He never leaves us. He's always there. He's a very present help in a time of need. And we have that. The Galatian church, however, this was a transaction they weren't used to. They were still struggling under keeping the law. And keeping the law never saved anybody. It was just a demonstration of your belief and your trust in God. Never, never saved anybody. Can't find a scripture that says that. So they're struggling with this new concept. Also the concept of Jew and Gentile and so on and so forth. And Paul said to him, he said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, having begun in the Spirit? They understood. There was I'm not going to say a feeling, but there is a feeling. Now, my salvation is not based on feelings, it's based on facts. But when you believe in the facts, it does create a feeling. I felt that night that a croaker sack had been lifted off my back because I had been carrying myself the wages of sin. Rodney made it very clear to me, Michael, if you continue, there is a mediator. God can forgive you of that, but you got to give it to Him for Him to forgive you of it. And even people that have been saved love to come to the altar, ask God for forgiveness, and pick it up and take it back to their seat. So the Galatian church was struggling with this concept of keeping the law or walking in the Spirit. And that's where that phrase led us. And walk in the Spirit. You need to learn. Children should be taught this at an early age. Matt and Patty will be teaching that to children today, how to deny themselves and to live and walk in God. And when you're not saved as a little child, you can see how difficult it can be. And then all of a sudden you get saved, and then you see. If we just listen to God, you know how much easier that'd be? And we resist Him. So their struggle was this walking in law versus the Spirit, and it was a difficult concept. We don't have that anymore. Now again, if you're not careful, you see these charlatans throw jackets at people and speak crazy and roll on the floor and everything else, and we think that's the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. No, the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, the identification, the characteristics is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We're living in a day and age where there's not a lot of love. Biblical love. Joy, patience, long-suffering. I mean, if you get into the drive-through at Wendy's and you don't get it immediately, you're spazzing out. If you're driving down the road on 8 at about 4:30 in the afternoon and somebody doesn't get out of your way, you're freaking out over it. We are the calm in a storm. This world is spinning out of control. We're the calm in that storm. We come, blessed are the peacemakers, all of that stuff. We have something, we bring something different to the table at the job, at the grocery store, at the checkout counter, and so on and so forth. Why? Because we have God living inside of us. And if God lives inside of us, what would He do? And I know it's a crazy little thing, and at the time people wore bracelets over it, but if Jesus was here, what would He do? How would He act? A lot of times you can figure that out just reading the Bible, but if you read the Bible and then you actively have a walk with Him where you talk with Him on a day-to-day basis through Scripture. I'm not talking about sitting in a tree stand doing all kinds of stuff. I'm saying talking to God, talking to Him and reading Scripture, and He says, here's how I'd like you to act. Here's how I'd like you to be. Then all of a sudden you can be that and you can change the storm. If 11 men can turn the world upside down, why isn't a church our side able to flip Cuyahoga Falls upside down? So with that being said, we pick up in verse 16. Paul says to this church, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Anybody be honest enough to raise your hand and say, there was times this week I walked in the flesh. 3 hands, 4, 5. All of us did. Even if we're not saved, if you're not saved, you definitely walked in the flesh. If you are saved and you didn't raise your hand, then whew, let me just step down. You get up here and you do this for a little while, because I'm going to tell you what, it's difficult. It's like a fish swimming upstream. It's just difficult. You get up and you get on 8. You start looking around saying, where'd all these Fruit Loops come from? Can't they drive? And you're screaming at it. And then before you know it, your kids are screaming in the back seat. Where do you think they got that from? Watching you scream in the front seat. Okay, it's going to be a good day today. All right, all right, all right, all right. He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you fulfilled the flesh, whatever it may be, overeating cookies, searching the internet too long. Here's a good one that most of us don't even realize. Just hours can go by. Can you imagine where we would be if we did that with our Bible? That's walking in the flesh. He said, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I've said this, one of the best books outside of the Bible that I read after I got saved was Charles Stanley's book, many, many years ago, Winning the War Within. Because there's two natures that take place. We have the old nature, and we have the new nature. Notice this, New Testament never uses the word backsliding. New Testament uses the word carnal, to be carnally minded. That's walking after the flesh. Why? Because I go back to this, when you were saved, there was a transaction that took place. When did it take place? How did it take place? I know, I don't know when, I know how, but it takes place, and all of a sudden God lives inside of you. And He is going to compel you, and He's going to convict you, and He said, walk, let's go this way, don't look that way, don't do this. Keep doing this if you stay close enough to Him. And you're supposed to listen to those gentle little nudges. You're supposed to listen to those gentle little nudges. Oh boy, this is going to be a good day. And that book I read, and I memorized that poem, and I always have. Two natures beat within my chest. The one is evil, the other blessed. Romans chapter 6 tells us, which one you obey, your servant to obey. You obey the flesh, than your servant to obey the flesh. America loves the flesh. America loves the flesh. Go overseas, and I was telling Libby, we've been watching this cooking show. I'll tell you what, by nature, Oriental people are some of the most humble people. They just, every little thing, we're watching this cooking show and this competition, and they're just always, and they do this little thing now, the hand gesture, a lot of countries do this little hand gesture and so on and so forth. If we get hankering for something, man, we just do it. We just do it. There's no control. And if your children, you don't restrain your children. You're not restraining them because you're trying to keep them from something. God didn't say that fish with no scales and shrimp and crustaceans and pork, or I'm just going to keep that from them. I'm just going to be mean to them and they can't have a pork belly sandwich. No, there was a purpose for that. He was protecting us from things that would harm us. And shouldn't we live longer? And the fact of the matter isn't to live longer just to live longer. It's to live longer so we have a longer span of time to be a testimony for God. Levitical law was not to restrain everybody. It was to protect everybody. You follow what I'm saying? And so Americans get a hankering for something. They are some of the most overweight people in the world. Because they just get a hankering for something and just dive right into it. We have a built-in anti-hankering system. And it's called the Spirit of God. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. The poem, I never finished this. Two natures beat within my chest. The one is evil, the other blessed. The one I love, the one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. And he says it right here, basically. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. He's speaking to believers that are battling with the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. They don't understand this concept. They were just, they walked in the letter of the law. Bible says, Paul said this in Romans, the letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. I've said this many times. I'm not paying child support. I'm not paying palimony. The law steps in, or alimony or whatever it's called. The law steps in and requires me to do that because I won't out of love take care of my children. I won't out of love love my wife. So the law steps in to do something that I should be doing naturally. Should be doing naturally. And look at what we have in the system that we have nowadays. And the Galatian church was this way. If we just yield to that, these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. He's speaking as Christians. You can't do that. That's why many people have said, I will say this about Lot. Never forget, but I was first studying Lot, and I'm going, man, this guy's got to be lost. If it was only for the Old Testament, I'd say he's lost. But then you read of Peter speaking of Lot, and it says it vexed his righteous soul. Now that means if you got around Peter or Lot, you could see that vexation. He was troubled by it. He might not always say it at the dinner table to his family or whatever, but every once in a while he'd say, man, this town's really going to pot. But he became part of it. You live around most Christians nowadays and there's not even a vexation. There's not even an embarrassment. There's not even a shame anymore. They just willingly and blatantly do things and defy you to say anything about it. That's how bad things have gotten. He says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. That's not just husband and wife adultery. That's spiritual adultery. We see that in Revelation 3, spiritual adultery, putting something before God. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. You know, people think of witchcraft sometimes and they think they've got to have somebody with a cast iron pot with a stirring stick and putting cat heads into it or something. You ever seen most of the video games that are out there nowadays? Witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Does it look around? Do you think our country is guilty of any of that? It's amazing how many people will be standing arm in arm with them that say they're Christians. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you also, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. He's showing the contrast between the two, the contrast between the lost or the carnal nature and the spiritual nature. If you walk in the Spirit, he says, but the fruit, not plural, we should have all of these. Not just, well, I don't mind that one. This ain't Golden Corral. This ain't Shoney's buffet. This isn't the cafeteria where I'll take a little bit of that and I'll take a little bit of that. These are all inclusive and we should be allowing. It isn't that we should be striving for them. Well, I got to love more. No, it's that we should be yielding more and God will naturally do that within us. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And that's what baptism, Romans chapter 6. Baptism is an outward expression and manifestation of an outward expression of an inward manifestation. We do it within the confines of a church nowadays, and most people don't get to see it. At the time of these writings, they did it publicly. Where else were you going to do it? And when they did it publicly, other people identified them and said they're Christians. And therefore persecution came and problems came and tribulations came. But they stood and they died and they said, I'm going to serve God. We don't know of the Colosseum where people, husbands were cut open and their intestines were laid out in the Colosseum and said, if you pick those all up, you can leave. We don't know of the trials of people putting on the blocks and stretching them. Fox's Book of Martyrs reads of women that were with child, and they'd put them on these blocks and stretching blocks and crank them out till their arms popped out of socket and their legs popped out of socket, getting them to deny the faith. We don't know of that. All we know of is I'll watch that on church today, or I'll watch it on TV today. I stubbed my toe this morning. It's a little too cold outside. We don't know of that. He says, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And that is a demonstration there when a young person or an older person stands up. They're identifying their death with Christ. We're not burying people. We're burying them in baptism. It's a picture of going under the water and dying to self and being raised to walk in a newness of life. And what is the newness of life? Denying the flesh and allowing God to speak to us and help us and go in a path that we wouldn't normally go if we didn't have Him inside of us. That's why it's an atrocity for a Christian to say, this is just who I am, Pastor. People need to accept me for what I am. That is anti-Christian. And it is anti and detrimental to the Holy Spirit's work. You are literally saying, I am who I am and I'm just going to stay that, and everybody else just needs to accept that. That's saying, I'm not going to allow God to change me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And he tells us in Galatians 2:20 earlier on, he said, Paul said this, of his own self, trying to compel them to follow his teachings that are inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We cannot achieve this in and of ourselves. We have to have something outside of us, placed inside of us, compelling us and convincing us and convicting us, this is the way, walk ye in it. That is the Christian life. If we live in the Spirit, he said, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. And then we talked about this passage last week, and I won't go into it in Galatians 6, bearing one another's burdens. You know what that is? That's us teaching one another, hey, you're not walking right, and you've given us a testimony of salvation. Let's do this together. Let me bear that burden that's keeping you distracted and walking in the flesh. Let me help you with that fault that's so easily beset you. And then you get that person to a place. This is discipleship. It's mentoring. Then somebody else comes along. The aged women and the aged men are helping those other ones that haven't learned to. Paul, who has experienced a transformational metamorphosis, is now sharing this with believers in Galatia that you can do this. You're able to do this. He gives self-testimony of what took place in his life. He says, you can do this. We can do this with God's help. We've gotten to the place now where we just go through the motions. We don't yield to Him. Let me read this other passage of Scripture. Is everybody okay? Amen would be sufficient if I say something truthful. There we go. That does work. Amen. Chapter 5 of Ephesians. Again, he uses this word, walk. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, first fruit of the Spirit, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among, not once named among you, as become a saint. Neither filthiness. They've got websites up now. They've got Facebook pages up now. Lost people, former church people that put websites out there highlighting these moments in the flesh where we make a fool of God. And then the rest of the world looks and says, yeah, that's why I don't go to church. What was it of Titus? It says these women should adorn themselves in the Word of God that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Can you imagine that lady? They didn't say that of the men. But I believe the truth is still there for them by application. He said that of women, that they blaspheme. They can blaspheme the Word of God. You know what that means? When the lost world looks at it, it just blasphemes. And blasphemy, watch this now, is the unpardonable sin. Blasphemy against what? The Holy Ghost. So when the Holy Ghost is working in the life of a lost person, and they look at the life of a saved person, woman specifically in that passage of Scripture, her life and how obedient she is to Scripture or disobedient to it can be the difference in that person at work one day sitting there saying, that's why I don't go to church. And blaspheme means if I don't listen to the Holy Spirit of God, how does the Holy Spirit of God work? He uses our light and our salt to convict and compel somebody else. That's the truth. Let's say Noah Baldwin's a rank sinner. I mean, one of the rankest sinners, biker club, tattoos all over the place, face tattoos, everything like this, and all of a sudden he gets around a brother, help me with that. What was his name that came here? Y'all panicked when he said, I just got out of jail. Brother Burns. Remember that? Barcode on his neck. I mean, one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. And he starts going down the jail ministry and talking. And these people see him being who he is, but not who he should appear to be with the covering of the book. Can't change this. They can't change the flesh. And all of a sudden, Noah, this rank sinner, sees that and says, man, what in the world? Did you turn over a new leaf? No. Did you do a 12-step program? No. Man, did you go to counseling somewhere in the system? No. Man, did they threaten you with your life and lock you up and pray? No. Now, what happened? I read the Word of God. I trusted it to be truthful. It said this of my life, and I agreed with it. And then it pointed me to Christ, who was a mediator of my sins and died for them. And I accepted it. And then all of a sudden, man, would that work for me? You're going to have to try it. What did David say? Oh, taste and see. All we can do is sit there and say, I've said this 1,000 times, Joshua can come to our house, dig in the refrigerator, can he not? Dig in the refrigerator. He should be on that chop show on TV where they just give you a basket full of junk and you make something out of it. He can get in that refrigerator, dig through something, put something on this, slap this together. Next thing you know, you sit there and you watch him eat it and you're going, Can I get a bite of that? That is, in essence, when the psalmist David said, "Oh, taste and see the Lord's," that's how our life should be. If a lost person came to church today and sat beside you as you sang those hymns, worshiped God, fellowshipped with other believers, would they begin to see fruit on your tree that's edible for them and say, "Man, I wish I was that way. Wish I was that way." When Moses comes to Egypt, they condemn him because he thinks, or when he's still in Egypt, they think he's just going to kill them. They think he's going to do something like this, and then he comes back and he's completely transformed. The only way the rest of the world gets saved is not when Jesus comes back out of the sky and walks this face of the earth. It's when you and I walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit takes control of our lives, and He closes our tongue, and He changes our direction. That's what Paul is saying here. He's trying to compel them in this way. It says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." There used to be a phrase many years ago in good homes. You're a whatever the surname may be. Act like it. They might even reference somebody else in the neighborhood. "Hey, you're not a Jones. You see them Jones. You see how they act in our neighborhood. You're not a Jones. You're a Peterson. Act like one." That's the same connotation. We're children of light. We've been rescued from darkness. We've been brought from the ways we used to walk in. Now we're different. Amen. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." We don't have to wave our bony finger. Libby and I were somewhere the other day. We had an appointment. I didn't have on a tie, but I had a sport jacket on, just regular. She had what she always has worn since we finally came to a conclusion as a preacher, anyways. And oh my goodness, some of y'all. And we were just somewhere, and you could tell people were, you know, curious. I didn't have a dark suit on. I wasn't coming from a funeral. You know, there used to be a time in our country that people walked around that didn't look like they were at 2026 Walmart. Flippy floppies and yoga pants and every other thing under the sun. They didn't look like they pulled something out of a duffel bag. That's how far we've come. Now, when people are in normal deportment in just normal clothing that they sell and looking apart, people instantly are either going to condemn or curious where you came from. And you know what God can do with that? Libby and I have been around people before, and if it's that uncomfortable, then why'd you put it on to begin with? Do you ever see people that just have those things, and girls specifically, and they're constantly pushing it down? I've been at funerals that way. What's making you do that? I'm going to tell you what. If I've got something that is so constricting to me and bothersome to me, makes me so uncomfortable that I got to keep adjusting it, I'm going to go home and say, "Mama, that thing don't fit me anymore. I'm going to get something that's more comfortable for me." It's conviction. And how does that conviction come? Doesn't always come from a bony finger. And yes, it ought to happen from a bony finger. Did not Nathan point his bony finger at David? "Thou art the man." But sometimes it can just come from being uncomfortable around other people. And you know what that is? For the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. And it teaches us about godliness and so on and so forth. Those are all works of the Holy Spirit that are manifested in our lives, not to condemn somebody, but to convict them, which is a type of a word of convincing them. This is the way. Man, this way. Listen, I've been on both sides of this thing. This side's a whole lot easier than that side. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done in them in secret. Father, we'd ask you to help us today, I plead. There's been a lot said already. The scripture is very clear. We'd ask you to help us today, Lord. All of us struggle in walking in the Spirit. We are a fleshly being, and forever how many years we stayed apart from you, we've learned that sometimes. And that is not necessarily the case as it was for the Galatian church, but to learn a different way to walk and to trust in you and to lean on you and allow the fruit of the Spirit to be manifested in our lives. We'd ask you to help us. If there's somebody in here that doesn't know you as Savior today, I pray that you'd speak to them. Holy Spirit, do that part, that work that I cannot do. We plea in Christ's name. Amen. Let me say this. This morning I want to circle back to a topic. I don't know how long it's been since we were in the fruit of the Spirit. It was probably started right after the family conference, and then I think I did two or three services, and then other things took place and transpired, and I don't want to leave that alone. I think one of the most neglected teachings in the average Baptist church or New Testament church, whichever one you want to say it, the most neglected teaching is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And so I want to circle back to a topic we began looking at after our family conference. Obviously, it has been a while with several things occurring. Having been a while, I don't want to move on to another topic. I have done some single topics. Tonight, we'll be back in Revelation. Wednesday, we started our mentoring one, the manuscript for mentoring. And it's a systematic way to teach the Bible, go through the Bible, make disciples of all men, and strengthen us as believers, in addition to Sunday school. So having been a while, I don't want to move on to another topic because I feel this one is so necessary in our lives. If it's not necessary in your life, I want to say this publicly. It is necessary in my life. I need these fruit in my life to help me walk. And so that topic, if you remember, was the topic of the fruit of the Spirit. Looking at everything, I had laid a rather lengthy introduction so as to set the tone for the next aspect that we would look at, and that was the products. The products regarding the fruit of the Spirit. What are the product? I shouldn't even pluralize the word product. I should say the product, because it's not the fruits of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. So the product of the Spirit would be each one of those things collectively. However, since it has been so long, let's do some review so we can all get into the mindset of the topic that we were looking at. First off, I want to circle back to a statement I made concerning this topic. In honor of Brother Baldwin and his many quotes. Man, he sent some good ones to me. I get my own. For you Sunday school folks that get those quotes, he sends me my own quotes. And there was a time when I started feeling like a church member. What I mean by that is, you know, I know you sit there sometimes on the pew and go, is he saying that to me? Even though your name's not mentioned. Can I tell you why that happens? Spirit of God will make you examine yourself. Don't reject that. Accept it. Embrace it. Why? Because God will meet you where you're at, but He doesn't want you to stay there. He wants to conform you into His image. Transform you from what you were to what He sees that you can be. And so, in light of Brother Baldwin and his often quotes, I said this when we started this series. A tree does not consume its own fruit, but rather presents and provides it for others to enjoy. For others to enjoy. There was, when we were in Georgia, when we came back from Africa, there was a big giant fig tree by the garage on the property we lived on Clarks Hill Lake. And I mean, it was the biggest one I've ever seen in my entire life. And when we moved in there, people would now ask permission, because before, when nobody was in there, they were just doing it for themselves. One thing I didn't see was in similarity to the Wizard of Oz, those apple trees weren't taking those apples and consuming them themselves. That fig tree was not consuming that fig themselves. It was merely producing them on their tree for others to come by and experience it. The Bible says, and we misquote this so many times and use it as a convicting statement for people to go door knocking. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of a righteous person is a tree of life. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, faith, meekness, kindness, temperance. Those are fruit on your tree that you are abiding in the vine, and when you produce them, other people come along and they experience what real love is. They experience what real joy is. And so a tree does not consume its own fruit, but rather presents and provides it for others to enjoy. Can people enjoy joy at your work, or do they all sit at their desk or wherever they're at when you come in and say, so-and-so's here. Don't get them upset. Don't say something that'll trigger them. Christians ought not to be that way. God wants to manifest himself through these fruits so that others can taste his goodness in their own life. Remember that, and it may help you live your own life with purpose. Rodney taught me, and I will be forever grateful for it, what God's love looked like. He loved me unconditionally. We were the same age, similar situations, but for many years I had put up walls, I had put up barriers to what protect myself. He, through walking in the Spirit, was able to break through that barrier as the Holy Spirit would do, just like he did with the woman at the well. He looked at her not as other men looked at her. He looked at her as God would look at her. And then began to talk about things. And therefore I experienced what God's love looked like because Rodney emanated that fruit and it hung on his tree. Remember, God wants to manifest himself through these fruits so that others can taste his goodness in their own life. Remember that, and it may help you live your own life with purpose. It is a topic that is difficult as well to get my own head around, because to understand the concept of fruit being produced in our life for others to benefit from, we have to realize that God himself lives inside of each of us through his Holy Spirit. You have to embrace that. God lives in me. And therefore, I'm going to allow him to talk to me through the Scriptures. And as he talks to me, the Holy Spirit, greatest book written by the greatest author, and we have the greatest teacher. You are set up to succeed if you walk in it. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is a gift of God, and only he can produce it. Our part is to abide in God so that he can produce it. Adrian Rogers, I don't know if you remember this man, Adrian Rogers, the great pulpiteer, said regarding this concept, God prefers fruit of the Spirit over a religious nut. You don't have to shove church and God down someone's throat. Just allow God to manifest himself through you, and he will do all he needs with that for others. I think one of the greatest outside of love manifestations of God's character in the life of a believer for somebody else to be able to see God is grace. We don't do that. God said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. We are living in a very sinful generation, a sinful society. You know what we need more than anything else? Graciousness from Christians. And those who have been forgiven much ought to be the most forgiving. Amen. 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 All right. Well, Sam's coming to the piano. We'll just... You don't have to shove church and God down someone's throat. Just allow God to manifest himself through you, and he will do all he needs with that for others. And thus, so far, real quick, and I'm not. This isn't just introduction, and then I'm going to say I'm going to preach on this thought. This is getting us back to where we needed to be, and then just showing what the road ahead looks like. I want us to get back into this thought. When we come to church, it ought to be a way for God to speak to us and say, here's areas in my life this week that I need to start honing on. And the fruit of the Spirit is always a topic that can be touched on. So far we've looked at, in laying the foundation to look at each of these fruit, the passages regarding it. Although the ministry of the Holy Spirit is mentioned throughout Scripture, the specific teaching of the fruit of the Spirit is exclusively mentioned in two passages or letters. We've read them this morning. The one to the church at Galatia and the other to the church at Ephesus. Although each church struggled in a corrupt world, The church at Galatia struggled in the area of education, law versus grace. And the church at Ephesus struggled in execution. They lived in a wicked city that needed to see God in every area of their lives, which led us to the next aspect of this. We saw the passages regarding the fruit of the Spirit. Now the people regarding the fruit of the Spirit. Paul expounds upon and expresses to whom this concept and teaching applies. The church has a responsibility, once they are purchased by God, to now be a vessel for God to reach others. We are not in here to have fellowships. We are not in here to have little food days on a Sunday. We are not in here to stroke people's egos. We are in here to understand the concept of what the Bible teaches, and then we are to go outside of here and be lights in a dark world. We're to be salt in a decomposing society. And too many times we spend too much time babysitting those in the nursery instead of going out and making disciples of men. Amen. Got one on that. The church has a responsibility once they are purchased by God to now be a vessel for God to reach others. Remember this, when you go somewhere, you're God's representative. You're an ambassador, if you will. You're a representative from a foreign country into another country. When you go to that gas station, when you go to that grocery store, when you go to that job, when you go to that doctor's place, wherever it may be that God places you, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Wherever He orders you that day, you ought to embrace it and say, I'm a representative of God today, and I'm going to do as He would do if He were here in my own place. The people regarding it. Paul, in both letters and in each passage, details whom he is speaking to. There's several of them. Carnal, he's speaking to. He's speaking to the saved person, the people regarding the fruit of the Spirit. The carnal, the saved, the spiritual, spouses. We're supposed to have a relationship. Husbands, one of the most convicting passages of Scripture for me as I have been almost married 38 years. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. My comparison is not Joe Colossa. My comparison is not Mike Baldwin. My comparison is, how did God love the church? How did Christ love the church? And I'm supposed to do that same thing. Spouses, the people regarding the fruit of the Spirit. Siblings, Noah and McKaylee. Supposed to walk in the Spirit, amen? Where's she at? Oh, there she is. Yes, McKaylee. After services, just go up to him and tell him, Noah, I just want to tell you, you're an amazing brother. I love you. Same for you. That's how it's supposed to be. It's brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue. How do you do that in the Holy Spirit? Because why, McKaylee? Noah can be aggravating some days, can't he? But not near as aggravating as McKaylee can be. The people regarding it. Siblings, and then here's the last one in our review, servants. In essence, everybody in the body of Christ. And even when you leave out of here, on Wednesday night I used the maiden, 2 Kings 5. In captivity, didn't have her family around. She was a little maiden. She was young still. And you know what she did? She lived her life in such a way. What did it look like when she was changing the leprosy bandages of Naaman? What did it look like when she brought water in? And watch this. Not trying to protect her own life. She had just died to self. And here's who I am. And let me say this. That little maiden in 2 Kings 5 didn't have the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. She just had truth that she was obeying. Truth that she was obeying. Of her own free will, she chose that truth. She changed bandages. She brought water in. All at the risk of catching leprosy herself. And in there one day, she has a conversation. He said, if only you knew the man of God, he could change this whole thing. And because of that one conversation that little maid had, following God and obeying herself to her servant, Naaman got saved. And his leprosy was taken care of because he obeyed, watch this, the word of God. Then next we looked at We saw the passages regarding the fruit of the Spirit, the people regarding the fruit of the Spirit, then the perimeters regarding the fruit of the Spirit. In essence, the framework or boundaries of this teaching, or should I say ministry, and as we have covered already, I just want to remind us of these. If you're saved, they apply to us in our walk. When you leave out of here, everything that's said today is part of your walk and what you're going to do with it. Are you going to realize that God lives inside of you and make a difference in somebody else's life? And it was the perimeters regarding it was a personal walk. It starts with us. It starts with you and I. A partnered walk, then it becomes part of the whole. All of us ought to walk in the Spirit. When somebody comes in and says, wow, that church is different. They just love people. They're patient with people. They're long-suffering with people. Collectively, they're that way. Why? Because we yield to the Holy Spirit as a body. We see the perimeters regarding it. Personal walk, partnered walk, parental walk. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is good. Servants, be obedient to your masters. See how that all is? It's a partnered walk. All of us are doing it together. Then it's a parental walk. How many children today will never know the peace of church? Because their parents never yielded to the Holy Spirit's work in their life. Then it's a public walk. And then, last time we were together, we looked at the principles regarding the fruit of the Spirit. First, our awareness of the Holy Spirit. We ought to be aware. We ought to be able to say to ourselves, somebody else come up to us. Young people, you can do this yourself. No, you can walk up to Ryan and say, you know, you can either confess it first or you can inquire. And you can say something like this, Ryan, I'll tell you what. Man, the Lord's really been working in this area of my life. You say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm insecure in this. Well, the Bible commands it. The Bible commands me to go up to somebody else and share the areas that God's working in my life. Of course he does. He says this, confess your faults one to another and so fulfill the what? Law of Christ. You ought to be able to, and it's tough sometimes. I'm very transparent as a pastor. And you know what? It don't matter what you say. You know why? Because I got a pretty good relationship with my father. And I have conversations with him, and he tells me who I am, and it doesn't matter really what you say. Yes, it can. It can hurt me if you say the wrong thing. You know when? When it hurts? When I'm walking in the flesh. I get in my feelings. Boy, all of us can get in our feelings, can't we? Wait, let me say that again. All of us can get in our feelings, can't we? There we go. There we go. No, I don't ever get in my feelings. Well, just come see me, and I'll tell you when you do, because it's very obvious. Amen? And you can come to Ryan and say, man, this is an area that the Lord's really been working in my heart. Is there an area he's been working in your heart? Is there something in your life? No, we do this too many times. I'm just who I am, and people just better get used to it. Or I'll go to Facebook and tell everybody how I feel. The principles regarding it, our awareness of the Holy Spirit. I have learned in the last 6 months some areas in my life that I, you know, David said, what is it, reveal to me my secret sins? And sin, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Pastor said, God's revealed some secret sins to him. I need to pray for him, man, the poor guy. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And I was sharing this with Libby, and I have had some heart-to-heart conversations. And I told her recently, you know, there's some areas when Gene moved in that I did what I needed to do, but her moving in caused me to distance myself away from my wife sometimes and neglect, if I would, my care, concern, and hand-to-hand situations. I'm not afraid to say that. Some of y'all might be. Some of y'all that are afraid to say it going up in divorce court sooner or later. I don't mind saying it. But you ought to have the principles regarding it as an awareness. Is God, you ought to be able to come to, you know, preacher preached on a lot of things this morning, Lord. Where are you working in my life? There ought to be an inquiry. There ought to be an inquisitiveness. God, where are you working in my life? Or have you just arrived? The principles regarding our awareness of the Holy Spirit, our actions in the Holy Spirit. We ought to have people around us that say to us, well, that wasn't, you know, very Christ-like. Driving down the road, get out of the way! Are you walking in the Spirit today, Michael? I'm trying to. You ought to have people like that in your life. Why wouldn't you? If God wants to make us better, why wouldn't God in us help somebody else to be better? We're going to touch on it in the mentoring. I'm going to tell you what, it's one of the things that I speak about in the Timothy group a lot. We ought to be able to do that, because if we can't do it between ourselves, Brother Mike, then we are never going to be able to accomplish that task as a pastor or a missionary somewhere. And that is the main goal of us, is to help other people be more like Christ. The principles, our awareness of the Holy Spirit, our actions of the Holy Spirit, and then our attitude of the Holy Spirit, which now brings us to, and this is all I'm going to touch on, the products regarding it. Scripture lists consistently 9 fruit of the Spirit. Remember, it's not fruits, but rather fruit. It is collective, not singular. God wants each of these equally in our lives, not one or two singularly. This is not to be confused with spiritual gifts, which can vary from person to person. One might have this spiritual gift of administration. Another person might have the discerning of spirits. The other person might have mercy. Everybody doesn't have those spiritual gifts because they're different parts of the body. But every person in the body ought to have all the fruit of the Spirit in the body. And so, this is spiritual fruit and should be collectively present in each believer. And let me share this quote I came across this week in regard to that, and I believe expresses that. When the Holy Spirit comes into the life of a saint, He infuses His divine character into that person. We have the divine character of God through the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Whew. Thus, a life devoid of that character, which is the fruit of the Spirit, is simply not a Christian life. Bearing fruit, another preacher said this, bearing fruit is not a function added to a plant, but it is an integral part of its design and purpose. You see a fruit, if I plant a peach tree in my backyard or apple tree, it is, watch this, it is, bearing fruit is not a function added to a plant, but is an integral part of its design and purpose. That tree had a purpose, and we see that in the parable of the Lord of that vineyard coming to the man that took care of the vineyard, and he said that tree that's planted in the vineyard should be bearing fruit. And if it doesn't bear fruit, we're going to get rid of it. He says, we're going to cut it down. And the person that watched over that tree said this, please, could you give him one more year to produce fruit? We're going to till it and dung it. We're going to fertilize it. We're going to shake up that root bed. We're going to infuse it with what? Fertilizer, in hopes that it would grow. That's preaching. Preaching digs up the ground that you've gotten used to it being hard. Scripture is fertilizer, and it gets planted. It gets planted into the ground around that tree. Preachers want to shake your tree up. Preachers want to get you out of your little comfort zone so that you can produce fruit. Why? So that somebody else maybe can come to church or out there or anywhere and eat something off your fruit, a tree, and come to God because of it. Bearing fruit is not a function added to a plant, but is an integral part of its design and purpose. Even before it is planted, a seed contains the genetic structure for producing its own kind of fruit. When a person is born again through saving faith and is given a new nature by God, he is given the genetic structure, as it were, for producing moral and spiritual good works. One preacher said, salvation is not verified by a past act, but by present fruitfulness. And that fruit is manifested by God. It cannot be produced in our lives separate from us abiding in Him. Another preacher said this, when we consider the New Testament epistles, where believers are given prescriptive instruction for church life, we find that being filled with the Spirit is demonstrated not through ecstatic experiences, but through the manifestation of spiritual fruit. In other words, Spirit-filled Christians exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, which Paul identifies as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, gentleness, kindness, goodness. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5 tells us this. Romans says this, they are led by the Spirit. The believer is led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14. Meaning their behavior is directed not by their fleshly desires, but by the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. When you got to a place in your life where you said, I need God, there was an exchange that took place. You gave Him your ashes. You couldn't, you might have thought it looked good, and somebody else might have told you, you're doing okay. But in essence, you had ashes. And you hand them to God and say, in my hand, no price I bring, only to the cross I cling. And He exchanged them for beauty. You'll never be as great as God wants you to be without admitting to God that you can't be without Him. And God says, okay, we're going to do something. You give me that mess you made, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to indwell it, and I'm going to transform it, and I'm going to change it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm changed. I'm new. I began again. I'm birthed over, and I have a new life. And the better that life is in direct correlation with how much I die to self and allow the Spirit of God to change my life. I've said it before, and it's not a threat. I needed 10 years in Africa. Because if I would have come from where I was at in cow pens to here, Jacob, where's the jail? Medina, where's the jail around here? I don't even know where they are. Where? Akron. I'd been sitting in Akron because I killed about 5 deacons. That's not how it's supposed to work. Let me read this passage of Scripture and we're done. So with all that said and a review to catch us up, I want to read a passage of Scripture that lists out the products, if you will, of the Spirit of God working in our lives and close out in an invitation. And the invitation is that we will meditate upon these truths, this list, if you will, this week, or even today, and we will ask God to manifest these things in our lives for others. You might not realize this, but there's a lady where you work that needs God's love. Patience. Just in recent days, I've been reading these things, and I know I can snap when Libby says something. I need to be more patient. Lord knows, I got the long-suffering down, 38 years of it. Mike, make your expression sometimes. I got the long-suffering, Lord. Lord, man, come on. No, it's patience and goodness and meekness and gentleness. So we'll look at this list. There's a lady at work. There's a person at the grocery store at the checkout counter. There's a mom struggling with her children. There's a couple on the verge of divorce. And God wants to place you on that board somewhere in their location to be a breath of fresh air and to be what? Fruit from your tree that can satisfy them until they surrender to God. Galatians 5. This I say, then walk in the Spirit. That's the invitation today. How much different could our communities be if we leave out of here and say, God, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. God, I'm going to listen to you so closely that when you nudge me in a direction, you propel me to a certain location. God, I don't want to interject myself into a situation thinking I'm the end all to be all. But if you'll manifest it in such a way that I can get around somebody and they'll ask me, hey, we've got too many complaints at a water fountain. We got too many conversations on a cell phone that just make the situation worse instead of better. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. This isn't a list for us to look down our nose at the lost world. Paul gave this list to the church to look at their own selves in the mirror. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He says, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, we ought to have a crucifixion today at the altar. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Here's the invitation. God, these are the things that I need in my life. I've had to have several conversations in the last couple of weeks. Libby's brother, who we haven't heard of or seen of in a long time, sent out some hateful text messages. Libby's, for lack of a better term, sisters-in-law, two girls, Jean's husband's children, grown out of the home, but nonetheless, hateful text messages. The day that the obituary was posted, and I could see Libby was just hurting and everything. I'm not saying she's less spiritual. I'm more spiritual, but I'm a protector in the home, ain't I? And I interjected myself into those conversations, Brother John, and I kept trying to bring peace to a troubled situation. I said to her the other day, in a moment of just honesty to my wife, I said, I'll tell you what, she said, are you okay? And I said, no, I'm not this week. I said, I'm really struggling this week because there's a part of me, Michael, Mike. You've never met Mike Lovett. You know Michael Lovett. I said, there's a part of me some days I just want to, and I listed it out, and just let the chips lay where they lay. But I said, you know what? What does that do? Just makes me feel good. Might satisfy my flesh for a few minutes. The truth of the matter is I have to look through his eyes at those two girls and say they're lost. He's lost. This is why they're acting the way they act. Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Boy, if we could do that in our lives. So here's the invitation. I invite you to the altar for this. Here's the list. Love, joy, peace. He gives all those things. God, are these in my life? Not just one or two of them. Are all of these in my life? And God, if they're not in my life and they're not evident, can you please, in that still small voice, nudge me? Remind me. Put someone in my life around me to gently tap me and say, you're not being very patient there. You're not being very loving there. You're not being very meek there. And God, if you'll do that, I'll yield to that so that you can use me to bring somebody else to you. One of these days, we're going to stand before God. And what are we going to stand with? Are we going to be the proponent that somebody else come to know Christ? Or are we just going to sit there and say, yeah, I was saved, but I never brought anybody else with me? Father, we'd ask you to help us this morning, please. What a powerful passage. What a powerful truth. Help us, Lord, that are Christians. We can't do this ourselves. I am saved today as a result of you manifesting your Spirit in somebody else's life and they sharing that with me. I pray that you'd speak to each one of us individually today and help us, Lord, to be more like you and to manifest the fruit of the Spirit by us abiding in the vine so that we bear much fruit. Lord, if there's somebody who doesn't know you as Savior today, I pray that you'd speak to their heart as well. Do that which you can do and I am incapable of doing, Lord. In the invitation, I plead. In Christ's name, we ask you these things. Amen. Let's